Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
It's true that to be saved, all we do is ask forgiveness for our sins and ask the Spirit of God to come into our lives to take control of our lives. It is by faith. It is not by works or earning merit with God. However, if the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, there are going to be signs and indications that He's there. All kinds of changes in our lifestyle and in our works will develop after we have become born again. Honest people know that they are not truly living according to the morals of their own conscience. Christ's message is offered as a solution to this predicament. A moral life is impossible without God. At least a 100% moral life. We have a good side of our nature. We have a bad side of our nature. Once the Spirit of God comes into our lives, He beefs up that good side and takes our dwelling and focus off of the bad side. The destruction of sin is our reason for asking people to place their faith in Jesus Christ. It says in James, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. As the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." The fruit and byproduct of our faith is a changed lifestyle. I am very suspicious of the individual who claims to have received Christ but has not changed. I have met certain so-called Christians who have no more spiritual life than a doorknob. Their friends have to practically beg them to get involved with church affairs. They show no interest whatsoever. There are definite signs and qualities which will flourish in the life of a born-again Christian. Is it wrong to assume that the indwelling Holy Spirit will make Himself known through new feelings and characteristics? Is this not the very reason for His coming? In the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul says to the church, and he was very aware that just because people were going to church, that didn't necessarily mean they were saved. We do well to learn from the wisdom of Paul. He said to them, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." So what I'm going to do now is give you a list of qualities which Paul undoubtedly had on his mind. We can go to other scripture to find them. A lot of the things that he had on his mind, he would have taught the Corinthians while he was with them. We are reading other people's mail, but by reading other letters in the New Testament and the Gospels, we get a pretty clear idea of what this test was. What are the fruits and signs of being a true born-again believer? The first would be fellowship. The born-again Christian feels a special kinship toward other believers. Even the complete stranger will seem like a brother or sister if they are saved. The enjoyment of church and recognition of its importance are conclusions and feelings produced by the Spirit. 1 John chapter 3 says, "We know we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death." Acts chapter 4 says, "All the believers were one in heart and mind." The next thing would be a special love for the unsaved. It's not just Christians we love those who are not Christians. When I first heard the gospel, I told the people talking to me that I would never be caught dead sharing my religion with another. I didn't feel that it was my business to intrude, for one thing. Neither did I want people to view me as some kind of religious nutcase or fanatic. But after the Holy Spirit came into my life, I had a burning desire to share Jesus with every soul. I had once been a person who cared about no one but himself. Now there was a new compassion for others. I wanted them to have the same blessing which God had given me. Years later, I remember speaking with a woman who shared the same hesitation about witnessing. I said to her, "Don't worry. At the moment, it's natural to feel this way. You haven't met Jesus yet, so right now, there's really nothing to witness about anyway." My reasoning made sense to her, and she did pray with me right then and there. She was a college student. She prayed with me right then and there outside UCSB, sitting on the grass. I kid you not, ladies and gentlemen, as she prayed, her face literally changed color. I saw her face turn to red right before my eyes, sensing the Spirit's presence from head to toe. She smiled. She said with enthusiasm, "It's true. It's actually true." And then a few minutes later, "I can't wait to tell my mother about this. This from somebody who 10 minutes ago said she never wanted to share her faith. Now she can't wait to go home and tell her mother what happened. We see this in the scripture. Toward the end of the book of Acts, when the apostle Paul was on trial, he said, "Short time or long, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may be what I am." And early in the book of Acts, in chapter 4, it says, "We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." That was after Peter and John were commanded by the law to stop preaching. They said, "We can't stop." The third quality to look for if you're truly born again is a new outlook on Scripture. There is no such thing as being a Christian in your own way, but I hear that all the time. Oh, I serve God in my own way. Our subjective experiences are kept in check by God's Word. The person who believes in Jesus but does not believe in the Bible is leaving the door wide open. God conveniently approves of all decisions. It is far too easy to place the label God or Christ on any religion we want to believe in. And even if the religion claims to be Christian, even if it's our own version in our own mind of Christianity, my friends, this is really nothing other than idol worship. We would be much more honest to do as the Philistines and call Dagon by his real name. The true believers will also see logic in the Bible from a practical perspective. Their new experiences cause them to live the described lifestyle, helping them relate to the struggles and commands of the faith. I read parts of the Bible before I got saved. They were stupid to me. I understood what they said, but I said only a moron would believe this. After I experienced the Holy Spirit and started reading the Bible again, it made sense to me because I was living it. I was experiencing it. Early in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." This next one is very important. It's key. A Christian is motivated by love, not by law. We don't feel like we're living the Christian life because we have to. It's not, "Oh, God's going to send me to hell if I don't do this." Remember I told you before, heaven, hell, happiness, unhappiness, those are consequences of our decisions. But a born-again Christian wants to live this life. That's a change that's been made in their heart. It's not drudgery. It's not legalism. In the Old Testament days, God kept human nature in line through external measures by a series of legal rules and regulations. The people were compelled to obey God or be punished. The born-again Christian is kept in line from within. New desires cause us to delight in God. Certainly, there is still a need for discipline, but as a general rule, we will enjoy walking with Jesus. Such activities as reading the Bible or praying will not be done out of compulsion. Christianity is valuable and exciting. It is the greatest experience we have ever known. Jeremiah 31 predicts this. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts." Neither is the Christian looking for lollipops. A Christian would serve God even if there were no heaven and no hell. Both Paul and Moses showed a willingness to be separated from God if only their brethren would be saved. What a tremendous example of unconditional love. The next quality in the life of a Christian, no continual habitual sin. 1 John 3:9. "No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God." Continuing to sin are the operative words there. In the Greek, it really emphasizes a continual habitual sin. You see, these extreme words were written to combat compromising heresies in the early church. And we know that John is not teaching that a Christian never sins. Earlier, he made it very clear. If we say we have no sin, we make God out to be a liar. We have sin. But what he's describing here is our basic lifestyle. Because of the Holy Spirit, we will sin far less than we did before. In other words, God keeps his children in line. "When I sin, I feel guilty and miserable. I have no peace until I come to God in prayer, begging his forgiveness and promising to repent. Should I ignore my magnified conscience created by the indwelling Spirit, God will take even more severe measures by bringing me through the divine woodshed because I am his adopted child." And we're told in Hebrews, a father disciplines the children that he loves. 1 Corinthians 11 says, "When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world." In other words, we can stray, but God will bring us back. There are many professing Christians who love their evil. They show no intention of ever repenting. They mistakenly view God's forgiveness as a license to practice sin. Such people are in for a big surprise. The qualities that I just shared are not the only facets of a Christian life, but they are the basic characteristics to watch for. If a new convert doesn't display all of them immediately, don't freak out, don't worry. Just watch for them to at least blossom in time. It says in Matthew chapter 7, "By their fruits you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit." And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." Now, one thing I hear about all the time when lecturing on this subject, I'm frequently asked about the carnal believer. This is a popular term. It's used to describe the saved individual who is not walking with God. There is no such animal, at least not in the long course of time. The so-called supporting text for this doctrine is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and Paul mentions that he has found carnality in the Corinthian church. It is certainly true that a Christian may have times of immaturity and backsliding, but the traditional words of the warden are appropriate to anyone who has been born again. "He'll be back. They all come back." I seriously question how long a born-again backslider can live with himself, especially when we read just a little farther in Corinthians to find Paul's warnings for these carnal believers. He says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not casting aspersions on anybody. Human beings as a species are guilty of these sins. You can look at these lists of sins, and this isn't the only list. And if you're not guilty of some of them, you're certainly guilty of others. We all have these problems, but Paul has warned the church that those who continue along this path indefinitely will discover that they were never a part of God's kingdom. Now, some of you may be saying, "Well, Bob, isn't there a way I can know immediately? Do I have to wait to see all these things kick in? Is there some kind of experience I can go through to absolutely know for a fact that I am a born-again Christian?" There is, my friend. It's a harrowing experience, and this will be the subject of our next discussion.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.